My choice of first and third Wednesdays is going to be on the topic of Zman in times as they affect any and every mitzvah. In front of you I have a simple outline of where I hope probably to go and just be able to get 3 points down. First, let's establish what some of the daytime mitzvahs are. I don't think we'll be able to establish all of them from this text. And that's the Gemara and Megillah that I would like to learn with you. The second is to determine the length of day. And there we have two commonly known, the yeshiva world, of those who have learned Gemara and Shulchan Aruch know that the day is divided differently by two more recent authorities. One is the Magen Avraham, who was a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, and the second one is the Vilna Gaon, who also in a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, his Beir Agro, disputes the other theory. Now that's a complicated matter as to know when we feel day starts and when we feel day ends. Because the first one, the Vilna Gaon, has a much shorter day. He has from Netzach Hama, from sunrise until Shkia, until sunset. That's the beginning of the day. The second opinion has a much broader day. Alos HaShachar, which we call dawn, for lack of a better term, Ad Tseis HaKochavim, until the stars come out, which is nightfall, is a far broader time. To understand the difference between these two, as to how they arrive at the different definition of a day, is what our task is this time and what it'll be next time. To try to understand where this difference arises, and we have to obviously see the sources in the Gemara. Tonight we will be weighted on one side, and that is B2, the Magen Avraham Shita, of Alos HaShachar until Tseis HaKochavim. And just one word for those of you who are connoisseurs, this machlokes did not originate with the Vilna Gaon, who lived 200 years ago, and the Magen Avraham, who lived approximately that time also. These are the latest of the two who are locking their horns. Simple as that. It goes far back throughout the entire spectrum of Rishonim, which are the authorities pre-Shulchan Aruch and even after, but we in the yeshiva world conveniently, and I will show you why that convenience, how that convenience occurred, we take the last two authorities who locked horns on this. And there I've shown you your sources. And then when we get into the Gemara, there are some matters of terminology that I'd like to clarify for you. If you have to write on these sheets, you may write on the sheets. The first four are simple. The last five are difficult. The last four are difficult. Difficult in the sense that you normally don't see it. So that if the definitions become technical and you are not fully conversant with it after I get finished, don't be too concerned. I may be defining it properly and very succinctly, but nonetheless, because the concepts are so necessarily foreign to you, it's a different part of Shulchan Aruch. It's Yoredeya and elsewhere, and even parts that don't apply today. It's the Beis Hamikdash times, like number C5 and C6, which are with the Parah Aduma. Okay, so then don't be discouraged. My concern for this series is to be able to investigate every single relevant source of every single mitzvah to indicate the concept of time. Now, I'll tell you what motivated me. 15 years ago when I came to Passaic, I got in touch with a computer technologist, and I asked him to computerize all the times in an 18-chart table, which I, over the years, have distributed and I'm now reprinting. 15 years ago, the reformed spiritual leader in this town, that's at Beth Shalom, my good friend Ed Sasla, with whom I developed a very fine working relationship, because he always wanted to come back to his roots and his tradition. He asked me about this timetable. Isn't it a little gory? Doesn't it seem to you, the Orthodox Jew, as a railroad schedule? I know, a guy who has to punch a clock his whole life, a guy who has to make a train schedule his whole life, when it comes to Shmiras HaMitzvos, the observance of Mitzvos, he wants a little latitude. He wants to be able to open his belt and loosen his tie and make it easy. It'll be an hour later. Needless to say, some can react and say, Goyish Kup, that's why you are a Reform rabbi, and I have absolutely no relationship with you. But indeed, this, let us call criticism or analysis, was first lodged at Halacha by none other than the Hasidim. So that where non-Hasidim were so meticulous that, God forbid, Mincha time is going to pass, you'd hear someone say, Uish, Mincha. And the kavona, the inner guts that were put into those two words, Uish, Mincha, with such intense and true fervor, true religious fervor, if only he had it a minute later when he said the Asher of Shemoneh Esrei, Gevald, he could have pierced all heavens. But Chassidim took their time. Chassidim davened an hour after the time, what we supposedly couldn't consider the time. Chassidim davened 2 hours after the time. And nonetheless, capitalized on the fact that they were ascribing to a higher authority, in other words, their Rebbe, this lateness. A German, a Yeki, who would take such a shita, such an approach, and burn it, and decimate it, and throw the chassid in the river together with whatever ashes were left of whatever the chassidim wrote. But I'll be able to show you that not all chassidim were like that. But it was that statement of his 15 years ago that motivated me then to put together a unit of study to understand our concept of time. And not only our concept of time, but the way halachas apply in terms of time to every single situation. Therefore, when I announced this and saw that especially you fellas over here were motivated by it, I'd like to get to it straight away and see what's what. In Megillah, Daf Chof, in the middle of the page, Daf Chof, the Mishnah. Now obviously, we're going to be a little Megillah-oriented on these pages because that's the deal. That's where it's at. But we are not entirely limited to Megillah. The Mishnah says, Ein Korin Es HaMegillah, you don't read the Megillah during the day, when on Purim, the daytime Megillah. Velo Molin, you do not circumcise a child. Velo Tovlin, you don't go tefillah in a mikveh, you don't immerse yourself in a mikveh, only during the daytime. Velo Mazin, you don't sprinkle the waters and the aether, the ashes of Parah Aduma, on a person who needs it according to the Torah, and we'll learn what that is. The Chain Shomeris Yom Kineged Yom. And that's a tough terminology also. In Halacha, the menstrual cycle is divided into two segments. That's the terminology C7, Yemei Nida. That's when the actual menstrual cycle of bleeding takes place. And then, after that cycle takes place, one with a regular cycle is not expected for approximately 2 weeks to have any menstrual bleeding. But if she does have any kind of bleeding or staining, it's called Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom. You wait for one day. You observe one day's time to see if there is any further bleeding. Well, she, after the woman who experiences this, after having experienced the waiting time of a day, lo titpol ad shetaneh tzachama. That day she's got to wait until netzachama, until the sun shines, and that's sunrise. Here are the cases once again, the reading of the Megillah, Mila, Tvila, Tvila meaning immersing yourself in the mikveh, who is one who is a Tmei Meis. In the times of the Beis Hamikdash, who has been defiled by touching a dead body. Velo mazin, and anything that needs purification by the sprinkling of the waters and the ashes of the parah aduma, of the red heifer. And the chayin, and also shomeres yom keneged yom, a woman who sees some kind of spotting, internal bleeding, and it is not within a menstrual cycle days. All of these people have got to do whatever they have to do when? From the time of Netzach Hama, from the time of sunrise. The Mishnah concludes, V'chulam, and in every one of these cases, Sha'asu me, Sha'ala, Amud HaShachar, if you've done any one of these things, from the time that dawn occurred, Amud HaShachar literally means, Amud is a column, Shachar means morning. When you see a column across the horizon that tells you that it's a different color from the dark black sky, and you see a straight column across, that means it's already dawn. The new day has dawned. But that still isn't Netzach Hama, that still isn't the time when we astronomically consider the sun to have risen. It is pre-sunrise. How much pre-sunrise, I will bore you with about 3 hours of work. This is a machlokes that's going to drive us off of our minds. This is Rabbeinu Tam, this is the Gaonim, these are all those ethereal things that we have to bring down to concrete terms, and then we'll take a look on a computer chart for Passaic, New Jersey, and see what it says. That's the end of the Mishnah. Let me stop here and ask you for your impression.
Is that the same as Alok HaShachar?
Alok HaShachar and Amud HaShachar is the same thing. Identical. Misha Allah Amud HaShachar, we just convert the verb Allah to Alot, and to its infinitive, and it's the same thing. Alok HaShachar. What is your impression as of now? When does day start? Alok HaShachar, dawn? According to the Mishnah. Well, I'm asking you, what is your impression now? Without going further, without drawing any conclusions from the Gemara, how does the Mishnah hit you?
The Mishnah looks conclusive. Is he saying that day begins sunrise? And Amud HaShachar only seems to be a concession by the Mishnah.
A concession?
A concession.
What word?
He did it, diavad. All right.
Diavad. Diavad is a concession. Do you see the word diavad? Diavad is a technical term. If you did it, no, you did it already. You shouldn't have done it, but do you see that word there?
It seems implied.
It seems implied?
It seems
in what words exactly? What does the word kosher mean?
Permissible? It's correct.
Kosher means correct.
Correct.
All right?
Correct.
Yeah?
Correct. All right.
Now, the reason I did that to you, and I'm happy that you did, is because the very first time that I learned the Mishnah, I figured your way also. But the key to the whole word is kosher. The word kosher means proper. When a piece of meat is kosher, it means it has been prepared properly from step one through step six.
Right.
Number one, step one is to identify that it is a kosher animal, a proper animal to be eaten. Number two, if it needs shechita, it has been properly shechted. Number three, it has to be internally inspected for trephus, for lung adhesions. Number four, you have to remove the veins and the fat that cannot be used. And number five, you went ahead and you salted and soaked it. And number six, you prepared it in a fleishik epat, if it was a piece of meat, not with milky conditions. And if you've done those six steps, then it is proper to sit down and go.
Nevertheless, the fact that he says, Adonetachama, the Mishnah says that, evidently is saying that he does have a preference. He does prefer Netzachama.
So we have to answer why that preference.
Yeah.
Okay?
He does. It seems clear that he prefers it.
That's okay. But you see here that automatically we have to be very careful with terminology, because if from this Mishnah and later the Gemara, we're going to determine what the length of day is. In other words, when, at this point, when day starts, at least,
So that we have to be very exact with what we're doing. The Mishnah has to be looked at very carefully.
Look, let's go on. Minnalon, the Gemara asks, how do we indeed know that these daytime mitzvahs have to be done at that time? We need a source. So the first one was Megillah. The Omar Krah, the pasuk in the Megillah says that when it comes to the observance of Purim, the Hayomim Ha'ela, these days, Nizkarim are remembered, V'na'asim, and are observed. Bayom, so the Gemara says, Bayom in Balayla lo. We observe Purim daytime and read the Megillah daytime? Bayom in, the daytime, yes, and the nighttime we don't read the Megillah? We know that it's not so. That's the case. Lema tehavi kiyufta, do we have a problem with another din, the Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? That Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, the Omar Reish Yud Beis Lamed, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Chayav Adam, a person is required, the process on Megillah, to read the Megillah balayla at night, in the evening, uleshanosa, and then to repeat it bayom. And here from the Mishnah it says, obviously you have to read the Megillah when? Daytime. Implying that there's only one reading, and that's a daytime reading. Here we have another din elsewhere, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi indicated that a person is obligated to read it both at night and the daytime. The language of the Mishnah is misleading, or at least seems contradictory to the din. Now, it's a tiyufta because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was not a Tana, he was an Amora. And an Amora cannot dispute the facts of a Tana unless he has another Tana to support him. Answer the Gemara, no. You cannot learn that way. Ki katoni, when the Mishnah was learning the din, the first four words, Ein Korin Es HaMegillah, it was talking about Adiyom, limiting itself only to the daytime part of the reading of the Megillah, not reflecting on the nighttime part. And as far as the daytime part is concerned, we have to read it when? From Neitzahama, from sunrise. And if you did it earlier, because you had to go to work, and Purim is on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, and you read it much earlier, before sunrise, and it was Alois HaShachar, of course, yeah, it's proper. Interestingly enough, the one and only time in Tanakh, that the whole Tanakh, that the word kosher is used, is in Megillah Esther. When she was challenged to go to Ahasuerus, she said to him, "V'chasher hadavar beinav, if it is proper in your eyes, come." Only time. Has nothing to do with kashrus and chumash. Doesn't exist in chumash. And that word is the only time that we use
today.
Yeah, that's it. If it's proper in your eyes, one time. Any questions? You understand the resolution over there of the problem?
What is the status then of Netzachama if Amud HaShachar is kosher? Then what is Netzachama? Is that Mehudar or some other?
That's what we have to find out tonight. So we'll try to find out. Okay? We will not finish finding out.
Okay.
Next, the second case in the Mishnah was circumcision, was Mila, Velo Molin. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Velo Molin, Vechulu, etc. How do we know that you have to do Mila daytime? Dichsiv, because there is a pasuk in Chumash. In Parshas Tazria, Ubayom Hashemini Yimol Besar Arloso. It says specifically on the eighth day, not night, the eighth day. Had it not said the eighth day, Ubayom Hashemini, we wouldn't have a derivative from Chumash to be able to say that Mila has to be done during the day. And here, a similar question of yours has got to be asked. If daytime, is it at Neitzahama? Can it be later? Can it be all day? Or can it be Mialos HaShachar? All right? Every one of them has to be open to the same scrutiny. Now that we will not see in the Gemara. That we will see when we open up a Shulchan Aruch and we take every one of these dinim as it applies. But let's get through the Gemara. V'lo tovlin, v'lo mazin, the Mishnah continues, and we quote it again. Those who have to do tefillah according to the Chumash, having been defiled, having been tomei, Velomazin, and those who have to be sprinkled with the Efer Parah Aduma, also during the daytime. Dichsiv, because we have a pasuk in Parshas Kukas, in Parshas Parah Aduma. V'hizoha Tahor, the pure, the purified, the Tahor Kohen has got to go ahead and sprinkle V'hizoha Al HaTameh, on the one that is defiled, or the thing that is defiled also, because you can, there are things that have to be purified. Bayom HaShvi'i, the same Bayom, on the seventh day. Actually, it's on the third day and the seventh day also. The Iskash, and in that Pasuk, we compare the same conditions, Iskash, we compare the same conditions of Tvila LaHazoya. Anything that has to be done with tefillah, with the actual immersion in the mikveh, has to be done also with hazoya. And we learned that tefillah has to be during the day in this case, and therefore the sprinkling has also got to be during the day. And the next one, v'chein shomeres yom keneged yom, lo tidbol ad shetonet hachama. That one, the shomeres yom keneged yom, the woman who has seen an unexpected time of cycle blood, I'd like to hold off for a minute because it's so terribly complicated and doesn't yield us any new knowledge. So let's just skip. I will come back. If that frustrates you a little, I can't help you entirely, but I skip to be able to get to the bottom line of things. And if you go to the next page, V'chulam she'asu, all of these that were done, misha'Allah amud ha'shachar, is kosher. Got it? Ask the Gemara, well, that's a fine din, but minohani mile, how do I know these things? How do I know that if I take an hour before sunrise, which is approximately, but not exactly, dawn, alo sashachar, how do I know that it's kosher? Where does the Mishnah derive it? I need a pasuk. Omar Rava, we have two proposals as to where we know that alo sashachar is still part of day. Omar Rava said, the Omar Kho, because there is a pasuk in Chumash, in Bereishis, right at the creation of the world, Vayikra Elikim La'or Yom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elikim called Or, light, by definition, what?
Day.
Light. Nope, when you see Or, light, what does that mean? La Meir Ubo Kera'u Yom. That which starts to shine, Meir, that which starts to shine, Ubo, and continues on to shine more and more, Kira'o Yom, that's what's called day. In other words, dawn, when you start to see that column of light across the horizon, that thin filament of light across the horizon, that's the Meir, and it's going to be Bo, it's going to continue more and more. If that's the case, there's a pasuk that implicates Alos HaShachar, dawn, as being the beginning of day. Vayikra Elikim La'or Yom. It was already established as such. But the Gemara asks on Rava, if that's the case, Ela Me'ato, if I will accept your contention, Rava, that we learn from this pasuk, Vayikra Elikim La'or Yom, if that's the case, V'lachoshech, the pasuk continues and says, V'lachoshech Koralayla. When it gets dark, when the process of darkness begins, koralayla, that's light, which means la machshich uba. When we start seeing the time getting dark, uba, and it's going to continue to get dark, that's laila. But I got a problem. Because if that's the case, hokaimalon, we know the halacha, the ad seisa kofavim, until it is fully dark, when the stars are entirely out, until that time is lav laila, who in halacha we don't consider that night. And obviously our basic perception of that is on Shabbos. Shabbos, the sun sets. What's doing in the sky when the sun sets? You can still walk around, you can still drive around without your lights. Okay? You need until it is pitch black and you have three stars out. That's already, and then and only then is Shabbos over. Okay? So the Gemara asks Tam Rava, if you're going to say that the beginning process of light is considered day, then because in the same pasuk it says that the beginning process of night is called of darkness is called night, you're in trouble out the halacha. Or kaimalon da ad seisa kachovin lab lailo. We know the halacha is that we have to wait until the stars come out. Well, Rava has a problem with his pasuk, and therefore the Gemara goes ahead and offers another explanation. Ella, therefore, Omar Rabbi Zera looked for an entirely different direction. The pasuk that Rabbi Zera quotes aside from it being the very famous pasuk for this, is probably one of the most tragic parts of Jewish politics. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. 70 years later, the Jews received permission to come back and rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. Most of the Jews who were in exile did not come back. They remained in Bavel, they remained outside of Eretz Yisrael. But those who did come back were led by a wave of, by two waves, they were led by two people, one Ezra and the other one Nehemiah. Nehemiah, when he received permission not only to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but permission to take and repair the wall around Jerusalem that was destroyed, stirred up a lot of political discontent. There were some Jews who were from the old guard, who were living there those 70 years, and were half assimilated. And some Jews who were of a different family of Kohanim, who did not like the fact that Ezra and Nehemiah were given the right to reinstitute the Beis HaMikdash. They were bypassed. It was a distinguished family. It was a family of Toviot. They were troublesome for hundreds of years until the times of the Maccabees.
But they were calling the shots.
Yeah. All right? But they were calling the shots.
You said it was a different family of Kohanim.
But Kohanim had political clout in the Beis HaMikdash. Here come Ezra and Nehemiah, and they are setting up all of the administrative needs. They are rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. They are the ones who have the political connections back to Koresh and Belyavish. All right?
Yeah.
They're the ones who are running the show. Automatically, a family of Kohanim says, just a minute. Now, if Chadish Yemeni together, we've got to go back. Our family has been cut out. If our family has been cut out, you're going to hear from us. As a result, this family of Tovia ganged up on the Jews who were rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. It was only politically motivated to try to destroy everything that was built. The Jew incited the Goy, and this Jew, together with the Goy, turned against those Jews who wanted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to once again fortify the Beis HaMikdash by a wall around Jerusalem. Okay? Now, with this introduction, Nehemiah says that he realized that the Beis HaMikdash could not be rebuilt and the wall around Jerusalem could not be made unless they worked all day with arms, with ammunition in their hand, and by nighttime they set up a watch throughout the entire night so as not to be ambushed. Okay? Day and night. Let's see what they define as day and night. Come. You heard I said it was probably one of the most tragic political statements, and maybe even, you know, you see over here, it's Nehemiah Perek Dalet. Go home tonight, tomorrow, Shabbos, and read Nehemiah Perek Dalet, even if it's in English. It is an indictment against Bnei Yisrael, the likes of which we never had. Unfortunately, in yeshivas, whether in the elementary schools and the high schools, we don't learn Ezra Nehemiah. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, they learn Ezra Nehemiah. And it's not read as a Haftarah, so it gets pushed and shoved by the wayside. But the whole parak is an incredible parak. You got it? Va'anachnu. Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar Rabbi Zera Mehocha. Rabbi Zera says, we have proof for the beginning and the end of day from the following Pasuk in Nehemiah. Va'anachnu, we the builders, says Nehemiah, Osim ba'melacha, continued our work. V'chitzim, and we have arrows. Machazikim baramachim, and we are holding spears. From when to when? Me'alos ha'shachar, from dawn ad seis ha'kachovim, until night time. The Omer and Rabbi Zera continues and says there is a second pasuk, a few pasukim thereafter. The night was mishmar, was for guarding, and it continues. V'hayom la'avodah, and the day was for work. Okay. Ask
the Gemara, just a minute, Rabbi Zeira, Maiva Omer, why do you have to bring two psukim? Seems that you have enough evidence from the first pasuk that says that we worked and we defended our work from when? From dawn, from Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochavim. Let that be the boundaries of the day. Alos HaShachar, day starts at Alos HaShachar, it ends at Tzeis HaKochavim. What do you need the second pasuk? You know, whenever you bring two proofs in Gemara, you know what automatically you must suspect? That there is a fallacy or there is a question on the first. Whenever you have a v'chitema, or v'imtema, v'imtirtzeloma, there's always a basic question on the first. And therefore, the person who is giving the proof, or the answer, comes with a second answer, sometimes with even a third, so that the weight of all of the two or the three answers together will compromise it, will consist of a case, will comprise a case for him. And the Gemara picks up. He says, Rav Zera, my the Omer, what's the story? Why do you have to come with the second puzzle? And Rav Zera answers, V'chitema, should you say to me, Misha Ola Amud HaShachar Lav Yomomo, in truth, that when Alos HaShachar, when dawn begins, it's not Yomomo, it's not day yet, U'mechi Arvo Shimsha Leilo, and when the sun sets in the evening, it is night, which is earlier than Tzeis HaKochavim. Should you say that to me? And the only reason that they were working the way they did, longer hours, the inuhu, those people in the times of Nehemiah, is Mekadmeu Mechashche, went ahead and started earlier than day and finished later than nighttime because they had a little light. If you say that, is Toshma, come and learn the second pasuk. V'hayolonu halayla mishmar, nighttime was for watch, v'hayom melocha, and daytime was work, so that this is the true definition to them of night and day. Day starts at dawn, Alos HaShachar, and ends at Tzeis HaKochavim. Critical Gemara. Alright? Up until now, therefore, if I were to ask you to refer back to the sheet over here determining the length of day, our outline for tonight, what would you have to say? Day begins with which shita? Mogen Avraham shita, the second one. Alos HaShachar at dawn is when it begins and continues until Tzeis HaKochavim. And it seems as if, Alan, the Gemara is learning the Mishnah the way we didn't learn the first time, both you and I, that the day begins on Alos HaShachar, and therefore, kulam, in all these mitzvahs that we learn in the Mishnah, if you do it earlier than Netzach Hama sunrise, and you do it from Alos HaShachar, approximately an hour and something more, is kosher, you still have done a proper thing. Why? Because based on this Gemara, day starts at Alos HaShachar.
That doesn't explain the Mishnah, though.
Why?
Because why is the Mishnah stated,
Netzach
Hama instead of Alos HaShachar?
Good.
Maybe that's the way most people think of it.
Mishnah wouldn't say that. If there wasn't a reason for doing it, the Mishnah would say at dawn, period. Okay. The reason it says it's at sunrise, and then comes back to say, there's a reason it says it. It hasn't been answered in the Gemara.
Okay. I will try to show you a source for every single mitzvah. No, not every single mitzvah. I will try to show you a source for davening in the morning, Kriyat Shema in the morning, Mila. Okay? And probably once we get those three, you will then understand that there's a specific reason of taking that point in day, Netzach Hama, as the proper time, because it is probably the most universal time when these mitzvahs can be performed.
You've made a clear distinction between Kriya Shema and Shema Esrei then already.
Yeah, wait and see. But if you can't wait, I've given you the sources right over there. If you want to look, it's Orach Chaim Nun Ches and Orach Chaim Peites. In Nun Ches is Kriya Shema and Peites is Tefillah. And when you see both the first halacha in each one, you'll be able to put it together. All right. Now,
this doesn't answer the question.
No, I'm definitely not answering.
No, even what you've been saying doesn't answer the question. Because it may be that different mitzvahs have different zmanim in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, certain mitzvahs can only be done during certain periods of the day, and the fact that another one can be done at a different time says nothing for what the time is.
Okay, granted. But probably there is a universal preference for Netzach Hama for these things. However, that universal preference does not weed out the fact that you can do it an hour or an hour and a half earlier, an hour and 20 minutes earlier, approximately for a Lesa Shachar. Still doesn't, and that I will have to show you within the context of each one of those things. I will show you Mila, I will show you Kriya Shema, and I will show you Tefillah. And the concept should be clear. All right? Let's go further. The next Mishnah. Now, the next Mishnah continues, Kol Hayom Kosher, the entire day is proper, Kosher again, the Kriyas HaMegillah, for the reading of the Megillah, the Kriyas HaHalel, to read Halel when Halel has to be said, the Tkiyas Shofar, for Rosh Hashanah, all day long, Netilas Lulav, Tfilas HaMusofim, Dav Musaf, Ule Musafim, the Korban, the sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash Musaf, Ule Vidui Parim, the recitation of the Vidui on Yom Kippur of the Kohen Gadol on the oxen, Ule Vidui Maaser, when you bring Maaser to the Beis HaMikdash, there is a formula of Vidui of confession that a person, that every farmer who grew anything had to say, Bi'alpi HaKodesh Min HaBayis, every single year you had to give your so-called, the proverbial 10%, doesn't come exactly to 10%, you had to give Maaser. Yeah, but when it came to the years that you have to give 10% to the Aniyim, and you were enslaved, and your crop was not so good, you had to confess before HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Bi'alpi HaKodesh Min HaBayis, I gave properly, because no policeman stood over you. There was no IRS in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, except that you had to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and stand there with the Mizbeach in front of the Kohen and confess that indeed you gave Maaser properly. And Vidu Yom HaKippurim, there's a din on Yom HaKippurim, that you have to say Vidu all day long is proper. And from here all the way to the end of the Mishnah, a whole bunch of dinim that all have to be done during the day and willy-nilly are tied into the Beis HaMikdash. And what went on to the Beis HaMikdash? Smicha, that means having to put your hands on a korban when you bring a korban that needs it. And shchita, and slaughtering the korban. And tnufa, that's by bikurim where you have to wave it. Hagosha, bringing it in front of the kohen, and the kohen in front of the mizbeach. And kimitza is also, and haktora, and melika, and kabbalah, vahazoya, vahashkoya sota. And that is when a sota came to the Beis HaMikdash to be able to give her that ritual malted over there. The May Mayim HaMa'orim was during the daytime. Arifas Egla, when there was a murdered victim found in between two cities, you had to go ahead and decapitate an Egla Arufa. That was also a korban. Taras HaMetzora, when someone had leprosy, the process of purification was all the daytime. Kol HaLayla Kosher L'Ksiras HaOmer. When you had to cut the Omer, not count the Omer, but cut the Omer is Kol HaLayla, the whole night, the first night after the Seder. Ulehektech halovim, all night the fatty parts of the korbanos that couldn't be eaten, the evorim and the bones that could not be eaten, were burned on the mizbeach all night. Zehaklal, this is the rule. Dovar shemitzvah so bayom, any mitzvah that has to be done daytime is kosher kol hayom, is properly done all day. Dovar shemitzvah so balayla, a thing that has to be done at night is kosher kol halayla. Zeh haklal, it is the rule. And when you hear any time that the word rule, you know automatically there must be exceptions. There have to be exceptions. There is no such thing as a rule in halacha that is entirely ubiquitous, applicable at all times. But nonetheless, we say zeh haklal, this is the rule. And if a rule holds good 90% of the time, then we are in halachic called statistic terminology in the realm of a rule. That's the rule. The fact that you have 10 times out of 100 that there are exceptions to it. Okay? Because the obvious exception is clear. And that's Kriya Shema.
Okay? Kriyashma should be completed not all day, but in the morning. And there has to be a reason, therefore, for the exception. Because the Torah itself said, b'shach b'chol v'kumecha, when you get up. You do not get up all day. A normal person gets up in the morning, at the beginning of the day. And therefore, Shema has to be said at that time. But nonetheless, it's still an exception. Now, the rest of this Mishnah simply does nothing else but derive the psukim for each one of these mitzvahs. That daytime means all day, and these are all daytime mitzvahs, and therefore the beginning of the mitzvah is Netzach Hama at sunrise. But if you go ahead and do it Me'alos HaShachar from the time of dawn, it's kosher, you have still done the mitzvah properly. No question about that. Now, let's take a quick look. I don't know if you're used to this, but in the back of the Gemara, let's take a look at the summary. The summary review by the Al-Fashi, the Rish, of what he does with this Gemara. Now, just a short introduction. The Rif was the first who went ahead and took the Gemara and left out all of the hassling and the theory and just came to the bone-dry halacha. Needless to say, when there is a machlokas between two people and he paskined like one, he left one's opinion in and discounted the other opinion to indicate that that's the way he believes the halacha should be. Okay? Now, the Rif goes ahead in the wide lines, Mashnisim, and he requotes the Mishnah, okay? But he quotes two Mishnayas, he quotes an earlier Mishnah, HaKok Sherim the Kriyas HaMegillah. Everyone is properly capable of reading the Megillah, Chutz, except for Cheresh, someone who is a mute deaf, Shota, someone who is mentally incapable of a Koton and a minor. Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and machshir b'kotan and says that someone who's not yet bar mitzvah can go ahead and read the Megillah. And he himself did it, he said. But halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, nonetheless. Now here's where we pick up. Ein korinas ha-Megillah ela bayom. And he simply requotes the Mishnah. The only time you read the Megillah is daytime. Or the daytime Megillah has to be done from Netzach Hama. Velo molin, you don't circumcise. Velo tovlin, you don't go ahead and do tefillah in the mikveh. Velo mazin, you don't sprinkle the parah aduma. V'chein shomeres yom keneged yom. Lo tibol does not do tefillah. She does not do tefillah ad ha-Netzach Hama until the sun rises. V'chulon, in any one of these above. She'asumi ala amud ha-shachar, if you did it from the times of amud ha-shachar, is kosher, is certainly proper. And he goes and continues with the Mishnah. Kol ayom kosher likrosas ha-Megillah. He leaves out the whole derivative that the Gemara has. He's not interested in where we know that it's Netzach Hama, where the psukim are. These are only ancillary things, subsidiary things. Halacha tachlis completely ignores it. Kol ayom kosher likrosas ha-Megillah, and he goes straight into the second Mishnah and requotes the whole Mishnah, and that's it. Leaving out the whole Gemara because he feels that the whole Gemara is nothing else but derivative. Explaining to you the source of the halacha, and he's not really interested in the source of the halacha, he is interested in stating the halacha. And that's it. When you want a quick halachic review, at least according to the Rish, not according to the Al-Fashi, you go to the back. And he only wrote on certain masechtas and on certain prokim of certain masechtas, those that are applicable, halacha l'maisa, unlike the Rambam. Now, let me try to at least satisfy you, Lorne, in some which way. Netzach Hama is sunrise, alos ha-shachar is dawn. In a commentary on the Rif, which is Rabbeinu Nissim, this gigantic outer column, okay? If you will please take a look at the last three words on what is page 12, Ad HaNetzach Hama. Mm-hmm. Got it? On the bottom, all the way in the bottom. Rabbeinu Nissim, right? Got the last three words, Ad HaNetzach Hama? Got it, Ma?
No.
Over there. Oh. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. And there, he continues on the next page, up on top, Mishum. Neitzachama is chosen as Neitzachama, why? Mishum de yom barur hu ba Neitzachama. Day is clearly day. At what point in time? When the sun has risen. And that's the reason for daytime. That's the reason for preferring, according to Rabbeinu Nissim, and most everyone agrees, for preferring to peg these mitzvahs at a starting time of what? Of Neitzachama, when the sun rises. Because I know exactly that it is truly day. And these mitzvahs are daytime mitzvahs and not nighttime mitzvahs. Avol, however, midinah, theoretically, al pi halacha, mechislik tzafra yumamahu. As soon as tzafra, which means boker, boker we call morning, but you know what the three letters bet kuf resh means? The breaking through of the rays of the sun. Kislik tzafra, when the breaking through part is finished, in other words, the beginning of day, alright, is yumamahu. Certainly, it's certainly daytime. Now, if it is daytime, theoretically, because light is already trying to protrude into our experience, Alof HaShachar is day. Is it clearly day? No, it'll depend tomorrow morning if it'll be a cloudy day or not. You won't know. Go out, Alof HaShachar dawn, and it is a cloudy, heavy day like we had a couple of days before. It's pitch black, like 12 o'clock at night. You can't see in front of you. You go to shul with the car, you need your lights. This is the point. Satisfy you at this point. This is what he is saying. Because Neitzachama is that time where universally it is clear beyond all problems that this is truly day. And that is B'yom Barur. It's clear as day. That it truly is day. And for this reason, Kulam Sha'asu Mishallah Amud HaShachar is kosher. And here's the reason that the Mishnah says that true day, clearly day to anyone's observation, is Neitzachama, is when the sun shines. But Medina, it's a personal commercial. I hold like the Dinago. Okay? That's the case. My Kriya Shema in my book, personally, is later than the Mogen Avraham. Davening, Zman Tzila, is later. In the bulletin on Erev Pesach, when we stop eating chametz, I give you two times. The earlier time, which is the Mogen Avraham, because his day is so much longer, and he had to chop it up into smaller bits. And then the constricted day of the Vilnagon, which means that you have a half an hour, three quarters of an hour longer. Okay? So that even though my personal preference is within the Gaon, because so many of the posting before the Vilna Gaon disagree, and most of them hold like this Gemara, intellectual honesty dictates that I give you the more popular first. But we'll take a look at it. Now, close Gemara. And let's continue on this. Unfortunately, the Aruch HaShulchan, written 125 years ago, does not have an English translation. Do you have one? Okay, is that right? Hold on. Okay. In the Aruch HaShulchan, the bottom paragraph at the left-hand corner, the last line, Yud Dalet. I just want to stop there, although we will, in the course of our studies, we'll do this whole Aruch HaShulchan from beginning to end, the entire siman, the entire chapter. you have to just realize that when it comes to the mix of Kriyashma is supposed to be said over the first 3 hours of day. Okay? You say an hour normally, so you go ahead and you look at your watch, and it's a unit of time called 60 minutes. That's what we call an astronomical hour. The halachic hour is not astronomical. The halachic hour almost never has 60 minutes. There's only one day of the year when it has 60 minutes. The halachic hour is defined as follows. You take the beginning of day, and you take the end of day. You count up how many minutes you have. Divide that by 12. 1/12 is always an hour. One segment of 12. So therefore, a halachic day that has, let's say, 500 minutes to it, okay? From the beginning of day to the end. Take 500, divide that by 12, and you're probably somewhere, every halachic hour has something like 70 some odd minutes, right? New mathematicians.
40 minutes.
How much?
40.
I'm sorry,
40.
Okay, 40. Okay, sorry. Okay? That's not the hour. And then 3 hours of a halachic hour is 40 minutes, plus 40 minutes, and plus 40 minutes.
That's 2 hours.
Okay?
That's
so it's two of our astronomical hours. Okay? Now, the two shittas, the two opinions that we have here. One says day starts at sunrise, netzachama, it ends at shkia, at sunset. Okay? And the other one says, no, day starts at dawn, earlier, and ends at nightfall when the stars come out. Now take those two units of time and divide each one by 12, and you've got different times. All right? Let's see. Yesh Misha Omer Yudalit. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, there's one who says, and you soon know who the one is, the Revi'ah Hayom, this quarter of a day, these 3 hours, three first hours, the first quarter of the day, in which we say Kriyat Shema in the morning. Chashvinon, Chashvinon. We reckon, Cheshbon. We reckon from Me'amud HaShachar, from dawn on. And you see in parentheses, he tells you who it is. That's Mem Gimel Aleph, that's the Magen Avraham. Okay? And it's Katan Aleph, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, where the Magen Avraham is printed, it's the first subscript. Ulefizeh, according to this opinion of the Magen Avraham, in our territory, in our land, which he was writing in Lithuania, it was a Litva. Bakayit, summertime, is Yavor Zman Kriyashma Achar Chatzisha Ashviyis. The time to finish Kriyashma is about a half an hour after the seventh hour, astronomical hour, which is about 7:30 in the morning. Mipnesha Etzlenu, because by us in Lithuania, Bakayit, right? Me'omud HaShachar, from dawn, ad ha'neitz, until sunrise, haviz man aroth, is quite a bit of a time, because the day is so long. Ach, however, this opinion of the Magen Avraham saying that you start reckoning daytime from dawn, for Herichu Gedolei Hador, the Gedolim of our generation, and he stretches his generation back within a century. The Gedolim of our generation, Ha'erichu, wrote at great length, Likhos Dovarzeh, to knock down this opinion. They view Rayos, and they brought Rayos Bruros, clear evidence, the Chashvinon, that we start figuring the day Mehonetz, from the time that is called sunrise. Who are they? And look at these interesting bedfellows. Hagro, the Vilna Gaon, alright, the anti-Chosid, in Shulchan Aruch, B'Simen Tov Nun Tes. Now the Vilna Gaon made only small notes on Shulchan Aruch. He didn't write a real perish. When it came to this point, he writes pages in Shulchan Aruch. It's probably one of the most exhaustive statements that he penned with his own hand. Everything else that the Vilna Gaon wrote was, well, see this, see that. I disagree. I agree. Maybe this is right. Just like the other one said. Fragmentary comments. And go, you sit a whole lifetime to try to figure out what he means. Here, when it came to slogging off, to knocking down, this Shita of the Magen Avraham, pages he wrote. Which is an incredible departure. But then take a look, he's not the only one. The Hey Gimel Reishin Zion B'Sidurot. Anyone? You know who that is? No.
Ragon Rav, you got it. Ragon Rav Shlomo Zalman, that was the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Sidur, in the Sidur that the first Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote. He wrote the halachas of Tfilah. Came to Shema, he wrote the halachas of Shema. So here, Chosid and Misnagid, go ahead and join, and these were, so to speak, mortal enemies. The Vilna Gaon refused to even talk to the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. Both of them discount the theory of the Magen Avraham, and as I told you before, the Magen Avraham is only representative and later authority, an Achron representative of probably most of the individuals, most of the Piskei Halachos who agree with the Magen Avraham before him. V'chein kosav ha-levush, l'kamon b'simen reish lamed gimel. Levush is Rav Mordechai Yaffe, who lived shortly after the time of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch approximately was finished, let's say, the end of the 1500s, or close to the beginning of the 1600s. For 175 years, Talmidei Chachamim refused to accept the Shulchan Aruch as the last word. For one very interesting reason. When a halacha is stated, it has to be stated with all its reasoning, with all its sources, with all its roots. The Shulchan Aruch decided yes, no, finished. And as such, there was 175 years of anti-Shulchan Aruch movement. The Levush was one of them, who rewrote all of Halacha, disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch very often and showing the roots for it. The Levush was a heavyweight, there's no question about it. Unfortunately, the Shulchan Aruch has, ironically, the Shulchan Aruch has become the final word. But in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, let's say the first 100 years or 150 years after the Shulchan Aruch, everyone asked, after what the Shulchan Aruch said, what he passed him, what does Levush say? It's a separate sefer. The Kach Kosav HaLevush. Levush agreed before the Vilna Gaon with the Vilna Gaon, okay? And disagreed with the Magen Avraham. And interestingly, in the Levush, to refer back to your question, Lord, Levush uses three very interesting words. I'll show it to you afterwards. Kol sifrei tevuna or techuna. It's impossible to know. All the astronomical sfarim, okay, indicates that day starts with Neitzachama, the sunrise. That's what he writes. So there was an astronomical tendency over there to substantiate this shita in halacha. What it is in halacha, we'll see. You know, we'll see where they get it the next time we meet.
Levush printed in the Shulchan Aruch?
No, printed separately. It's a separate volume. Yeah, you can be a very firm Jew without buying the Levush. Understand? But in terms of research in halacha of that period, especially this fascinating period of when the Shulchan Aruch was fought for 175 years. It was fought in a very interesting way. Everyone who wanted a fight wrote a perish on it. And where it was to be agreed with the Shulchan Aruch, you agreed with the Shulchan Aruch. And where you had to disagree, you disagreed. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch is a tiny text, a small handful of letters in the middle, and then a huge 18 inches around and around of untold perish of close to 200 years.
Is Levush also a commentary?
Levush it wasn't intended as a commentary. He wanted to show that he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote it separately. While the others disagreed and wrote within the Shulchan Aruch, and was printed within the Shulchan Aruch. The same Kosav HaLevush, the Kamon Simon Reish Lamed Gimel. Now, we got the machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Vilna Gaon on the size of the day when it starts. And it has practical applications. No? Which one is which? How do we decide? Comes the Litvak, the Or HaShulchan, and says, V'chein onu tofsin ikol adina. The basic halacha that we grab onto, that we hold, that we follow, is according to the Vilna Gaon. The second opinion, not the Magen Avraham, the first. V'chein nidpas zman kriyat shma baluchos, and in the Luach, in the calendars that we print, Zman Kriyashma, the end of Kriyashma is printed in the Luach, Lefi Cheshbon Neitzachama, according to the way the Vilna Gaon learns from Neitzachama, which is not the case today in America because we became more frum than the Vilna Gaon, and we are frumer than the Aruch HaShulchan, and we go like the majority of poskim that say that you have to do it like the Magen Avraham. You got to start from dawn, and that's when you start your reckoning. And he says, V'halavai, and if it were only possible, she'na'amod l'fi cheshbon zeh, that we should stand up to the challenge of this calculation, which allows us more time to say Kriya Shema. It's a later time. If only we made that time, u'ba'avonoseinu harabim, because of our lack and our failures, she'na'aseh keheter, that we take it as if it's muter, v'ha'avor azman Kriya Shema, to go ahead and pass up on zman Kriya Shema. You got to sleep till 10 o'clock at least. Would be prat bakayitz, and especially summertime, when the day is so long, therefore a quarter of the day, 3 hours, comes out so early. While kolponim, in any event, I realize that this world is not a perfect world, he says. If a person sees sheyavor azman, that because of his particular schedule of day, time will pass, is yikro kriyashma af b'lo brochos. And he won't be able to daven before the time. Let him just say Kriya Shema without the brachos that come before or after it. Af she'ein ze ketikun chachomim legamri, even though I admit to you that this isn't the way Chachomim Chazal, who composed the Siddur, wanted it. They wanted a Kriya Shema that was enveloped with two brachos before and two brachos afterwards. Or in Shacharis, one bracha afterwards. And they wanted it in time. The brachos are like a sandwich, an indispensable sandwich, meaning that the Shema is the inside of the sandwich, and don't judge me poorly for giving you such a simplistic mushal way of looking at it. And a sandwich is no sandwich until you have a bread before, a piece of bread before, and a piece of bread after, a piece of bread on top and a piece of bread on the bottom. Otherwise it's not a sandwich. The same thing with Shema. Shema has two brachas before it, and then you have the meat of the Shema, the three paragraphs, and you have a bracha afterwards, underneath it, behind it. That's the way it was made, and was done that way structurally for a specific purpose. Is Mikol Makom, he says, I realize that criticism that you can lodge against me, but I'm holding that Zman Kriya Shema is essential, and say Shema without the brachas, without the davening. Is Mikol Makom min HaTorah Yetzay Yedei Chavosah. Because according to the Chumash, which doesn't have a requirement for brachas, but does have a requirement of what? Kumecho. When you get up, say Shema, at least you fulfill God's desires, even though you are a little short on what Chazal, the Rabbonin, wanted it. Even if you don't have tefillin now, is Yikro below tefillin? Say Shema without tefillin. Gesundheit. The law of Chazal said, "Kol haKorei Kriya Shema below Tefillin ki ilu meid edi sheker ba'atzmo." Anyone who reads the Kriya Shema in which we speak about Tefillin, and you don't put on Tefillin, it's like false testimony. That statement was made elok sheyesh lo Tefillin. That's when you have Tefillin laying over here, and you're too darn lazy to take it out and put it on. But elok sheyesh lo Tefillin atop. Now, Avol, however, lo sheyavos man Kriya Shema, it was never intended that because of tefillin, that maybe you have to go get it in the shul, or get it elsewhere, whatever the situation is, that you don't say Shema in time. It lays there because of that. Chen kosu kama gedolim. And this is not my opinion. I am basing my opinion on the greats who preceded me. Levush was one of them. Ma'adane Yom Tov was the second. And the Taz, the Turei Zohar, which was a parish on Shulchan Aruch also. The Chasvu, some wrote, Shegam Yikro Bibri Choseho Ayin Shom. Some said that even if you don't have Tulin, even if you're not Dabni, you should still say the brachas together with the Shema, because you could say the brachas also, as long as you say it in time. Not everyone agrees with that. We hold, like the Aruch HaShulchan, in generally, that you say Shema without the brachas, and then later on you repeat it together with the brachas. Well, that's the Aruch HaShulchan. That's where the Vilna Gaon gets his thrust, because the Vilna Gaon was a Litvak, and the Aruch HaShulchan was a Litvak, but take a look at least Lubavitch. According to Lubavitch, there are no two ways about it. There's a Zman, and you got to watch this Zman. We will spend a totally separate... Well, listen to me carefully. We will spend a total unit of time, I don't know if we'll be able to finish it in one night. I hope to. But my photocopying for you the sources, the Hasidic sources, to see what their attitude is about davening, so to speak, on time, whatever the time is, why they daven so late. Do they have an opinion? It will not be immediate. It'll be at a time when you have long forgotten about it, and then somewhere months down the pike, I will pick your brains again and remind you that I haven't forgotten it, because until we learn a massive chunk of information called Shitas Rabbeinu Tam on Bein HaShemashos, we can't begin to understand what Chassidim do. So when we get to that, we will afterwards see what Chassidim do, and whether you're a Chassid or not. We have enough to fight about. I'm not interested in fighting about this.
To backtrack just for a moment to where, you know, Fashofan mentioned that there was astronomical evidence. And in Vilna and in Lithuania, it held through. We did a calculation one time on Vilna in the dead of the summer by the longest opinion of the Magen Avraham. The longest possible opinion. And by that calculation, one Shah Azmanis, one halachic hour, came out to more than 2 hours. It came out to more than two
astronomical hours.
It came out to more than 2 astronomical hours.
We can redo the calculation. I have the tables here.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to get a copy of this and I will show you.
You show me you had more than 3 or 4 hours in a day?
That was just the point, and that's why they came to the... That's one of the reasons why they came to the conclusion, perhaps why they couldn't postulate in that way.
Okay.
Also, there's another thing. When my son was in England, he said...
Oh, yeah.
It's extraordinarily late.
After Shabbos was there about 11 o'clock or later.
Go to Calgary, go anywhere up in Canada.
Do you know that for months, spring and summer months, in Detroit, do you know when Shabbos is over? 10:30 at night.
Oh, in Portland it was like that.
10:30 at night.
In Portland we were at St. Agatha waiting for the sun to set.
Okay.
We're sitting literally looking at the window waiting.
What
did
you just say in Alaska?
That's part of that's what we're learning here. That's the whole point. Wow. It's at that time that I will need your mathematical expertise. I can only tell you the halacha, but math is not my particular...
It's important to come the other way in the winter. You have to get work before you can even daven.
Okay.
I literally, you know, I went to work all winter and never saw the sun until I was shopping.
We had it here 11 years ago. We had it here during the oil embargo when you had Nixon daylight time.
Okay.
Had the same problem right here in New York.
Mm-hmm. All these questions are on the drawing board. And we'll get to it in the months that ensue. Any other questions?
We're not next session.